Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
And thanks for tuning in today. And today we're joined by Chris Riddle. How are you doing today, Chris?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Chris, if you would like to introduce yourself as far as we're here to talk with Chris today about FCA. So if you'd like to mention what your involvement is with the local FCA here.
Sure. Thank you all for having us. We are bringing Fellowship of Christian Athletes back into the area, but I have just recently joined staff, and we are a organization that works in local schools, both university and high school, even middle school level, and we focus on reaching coaches and athletes with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And what is your title?
My role is area director. Okay. I am primarily at Eastern Mennonite University, but also work in the schools in Page and Shenandoah County. And because we have such a small staff right now, I'm also helping out with schools in Rockingham County.
Yeah. Well, I know that we've had some talk previous, so I'm really excited about this conversation that we get to have about FCA today, but I would love to go back to the beginning.
Okay.
And just, you're a local, and so I would just love to hear a little bit about your story, where you grew up. What was growing up in the Valley, your connection to the Valley and to church?
Okay.
Love to hear that.
I was born and raised in Weir's Cave.
Okay.
Went to Fort Defiance High School, graduated in 89, spent 3 years in the military, came back, went to James Madison University, met my wife, who was attending Eastern Mennonite at the time, is college at that time. We got married in 1994, mm-hmm. So we just celebrated 30 years of marriage. And we have been working together in ministry ever since then. 1998, I started seminary, finally finished it up in 2006. And from there, my wife and our three children then went to Italy for 8 years of missions work. And so church planning mission work. And upon our return, we were looking to get away from ministry for a while.
Yeah.
Came back burnt out. It was tough over there. And yet, we came back, and God has been working on us for the last 10 years.
Mm.
And the last 2 years especially, it's been this process of joining Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Mm.
And so we've gone from international missions to now a local mission agency.
Yeah, yeah. So I know that this is to reach the hearts of our students and our coaches, right, for
Absolutely.
Christ. So I would love to hear, what was that like for you? When did you come to Christ?
Oh, wow. I am a denominational mutt. my parents were Southern Baptist, attending a United Methodist church when I was born. I was baptized as an infant at 1 month old. I then joined the Church of the Brethren. I was baptized again as an 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in the military, I was mentored by a gentleman named Sergeant First Class Roosevelt Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of questions in 1991, 1992 about Christ. And he walked with me through scripture. And so it was Easter of 1992 that I actually became a true follower of Jesus Christ.
That's powerful.
And so then met my wife, who was born and raised Mennonite, went to a Mennonite seminary. But then we went to Italy. And we had Italian Church of the Brethren, Italian Baptist, Italian Pentecostal, and then also interacting with Roman Catholics. So my background theologically is rather mixed.
Yes.
And when people ask me now, what are you? I am a follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that is what I focus on.
We are one church.
There's no denominations in heaven.
No, there is not. And that is one of the beauties of being a Christian is that, and having had the international experience, it's really neat to see how Christ crosses borders.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if it's state or political borders. It can also be just cultural, racial,
Yes.
You name it. Yeah. It Christ can go through any right. of them. Yeah. And so we're excited about that.
Yeah. I think when I think about missions, I think a lot of times that we think we're going to go somewhere and bless someone.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't always go that way. We do.
Yes.
But we receive a greater blessing from the people there and Christ in them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so many times when we were over there, we would have short-term teams coming over. And we would always meet with them and say, don't think you're just here to minister to people.
Yeah.
Make sure when you reach out to offer something, make sure you leave that hand out there because you'll receive something mm-hmm. too. And we've seen many people really touched by the people they're ministering to yeah. as much as they get ministered to.
Yes.
So
yeah.
it's a blessing.
I've experienced that, and it's one of the most powerful things that can happen is when we open ourselves up to serve the blessing that comes out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I thank you for sharing and just giving us a little bit of a look into your life and where you had a foundation of faith,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, praise the Lord for parents and grandparents.
Absolutely.
That get us to church and give us a foundation of faith. And when God doesn't have any grandchildren, right?
Right.
So,
sons
just,
and daughters.
Just to hear your experience while in the military and how your faith became very real is so powerful. So I so appreciate that. And now you have a heart for others.
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about what's happening now in the Valley with FCA.
Fellowship of Christian Athletes is making a comeback here in the Shenandoah, Northern Shenandoah Valley. And we are excited to be a part of it. This week, actually, FCA celebrates 70 years of existence.
Mm-hmm.
November 10th is the anniversary of the founding of FCA.
Okay.
Don McLennan was the original founder, and he saw where athletes were promoting cigarettes and shaving cream and all sorts of candy bars
mm-hmm.
and said, why can't athletes do that for Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And so he talked to a guy named Branch Rickey, who was the owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and asked for a 5-minute meeting. And it ended up being a 5-hour-long
wow.
meeting, and Branch Rickey was instrumental in being the first real financial supporter, backer mm-hmm. of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so that's the very beginnings of the ministry, and now it is a 3,000 staff member organization that is international in scope,
mm-hmm.
and but it reaches to the local community levels also. And that's one of the things that we really appreciate. The vision of FCA is to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. And our mission to do that is to lead every coach and every athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a parachurch organization. We are not the church.
Right. Right.
And in our mission statement, it's with Jesus Christ and his church. And so that's one of the reasons that we are grateful for you all mm-hmm. for letting us come and speak here, because we want to be able to draw kids and coaches to Christ, but we also want to connect them to churches.
Yes.
Because at some point, the athletic career ends, whether it is at the middle school, high school, college, or even professional level. That is going to end. And when they don't have another foundation or support group behind them, when they step out of that athletics role, they can feel lost.
Yeah.
And so if we have them walking with Christ all through that and the church, then they have something solid to fall back on when the athletic career is done.
Yeah, I love that. You know, connecting them to the church, and it not just being, we're going to be over here and give them Christ, you mm-hmm. know, on the sidelines, but inviting them into the church. Can you tell me a little bit about what does that look like? What avenues do you all use?
Well, actually, it is partnering with churches. Just this past Sunday, I was at another church in, over in Stanley, and we want to be able to partner with churches because even if we have our FCA fully staffed, just in Page, Shenandoah, and Rockingham County, there are 11 public high schools and 3 universities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In those 14 schools, there are over 450 varsity teams. And that doesn't even touch JV teams, club teams, mm-hmm. and the middle school teams. So there's over 900 coaches and 9,000 athletes that we want to be able to reach. In order to do that, we want to partner with churches. And if there are members of Church of the Nazarene here that used to be a track person or a golf person or a football player, and they want to be able to reach out to those coaches and athletes that are in the schools, FCA, one of the beauties of FCA is that we open the doors to the schools. So even it's not just taking the students from the schools and the teams into the churches.
Right.
It's taking members of the church into the schools and onto the teams.
Yes.
And that is one of the things that we really want to work with over the next couple of years. It's going to take time.
It's a big vision.
It is a
huge
vision.
But it's an important vision. Yeah.
And with only one other staff member right now, Rob Dowdy, who is expecting his first child at any moment. We're praying for him and his wife, Kayla. Yeah. And my wife will be coming on staff, hopefully within the next 6 months. Okay. So we'll have three whole staff members to work with 10,000 people.
I was going
to
say, for 10,000 people, that's a piece of cake.
And, yes, for God.
With the Lord, with the Lord's help, it's a piece of cake.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I love the vision of this and just you all coming and wanting to breathe new life into this ministry. And so say someone is listening to this, could go here, or they may go to attend another church. Mm-hmm. What would you, for someone listening today that goes, oh, I played a sport, what should they do to get in touch with you? So if someone is listening today and you've said, hey, if you've played golf, or we all know that God doesn't waste anything that we do, right? And so if we have a history of, now the only sport that I have history with is like pastor softball. And you know,
that's all right.
But I don't have that history, but there are people that do in this community. This community loves sports. And so
most communities do.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking about the richness, because of the amount of schools, the amount of universities that we have here. And for the people that have played, they're listening to this and they're going, wait a minute, there might be something for me to do with the sport that I love that I can't play anymore. Talk to that person for a minute.
We would love to see people who have done a sport in the past, whether it was 3 years ago or 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. I'm 53 and just coming into Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So age is not a barrier.
Right.
But if you've played a sport in the past and you feel that your relationship with God and He is calling you to serve, and all of us are called to serve.
That's right.
Yes. Jesus Christ gave us that example in John 13. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're all called to serve. And so if you want to be able to come and serve, we would love to be able to talk to you. And we always vet everyone to see where they're at with their walk in the Lord and all of that type of thing. And obviously, when you go into the schools working with youth, you're going to be also checked to make sure there is no legal issues anyone. And that's something that FCA does. But we want to be able to encourage you to walk with those students in just a season, even. If you were a tennis player, I think tennis is usually a spring sport. Mm-hmm. If you would be willing to meet with those kids and go to their practices just so that they get to know you and you get to know them, and then go to a match and encourage them, because the football teams, the basketball teams, the baseball teams, and even the softball teams, those and the soccer teams, those five sports, they get a lot of people at those events. But the smaller sports, they aren't as encouraged with fans. It might be family and friends, but it's not a big crowd that especially gets to know you.
Yeah.
But if you would be willing to do that type of thing, go to a match once a week and go to a practice once or twice a week just to be able to interact with those kids and be able to share the gospel with them, that is what we're looking for, is people who would be willing to invest in kids and in athletes. Because when students are in their athletic season, their schedule is crazy. And that is one of the things that FCA wants to do, is be able to have people to reach them where they're at, because that is so important.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of like the church going outside the four walls. It's ministering, like you said, ministering where these kids are at. And like you said, if they can advertise other things, we can advertise, mm-hmm. not advertise, but we can mm-hmm. spread the gospel. We can share the gospel. We can minister mm-hmm. to them in this area.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like it's a relational ministry.
Yes.
It's about building mm-hmm. relationship. It's not just showing up and telling them they need to accept Christ, but right. modeling that, modeling mm-hmm. Christian character and building a relationship to have those conversations, it sounds like.
Absolutely. So many kids today, at least in my experience, they don't necessarily want to know what you know. They want to know you and the why behind it. Mm-hmm. And I think in the past, that is something that the church has struggled with. We've been really good at telling what we believe, but why do we believe what we believe? Mm-hmm. And so to be able to build that relationship with kids, with coaches, we can then move into the why of what mm-hmm. we believe.
And if people know the why, it helps them believe, you know, if we tell them why we believe what we believe and show it.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of you were talking about going to a practice or going to a match or something mm-hmm. by showing up. Pastor Margaret and I and talk about the, and a lot at this church. Mm-hmm. Actually, Pastor Margaret, my dad wrote a book called Showing Up, The Ministry of Presence.
Okay.
And so just showing up. And if people, I mean, I help with the teens regularly. And I think the key to that is just showing up on a consistent basis week after week and them knowing that they can share whatever they have going on in their life and that we're a safe place. And it sounds mm-hmm. like the same kind of thing, like Pastor Margaret said, it's a relational thing.
Absolutely. The relationships that we build with coaches, with athletes, are instrumental in how we do ministry. But it's also the relationship that we have with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of the tools that we use is the FCA strategy is engage, equip, empower. Mm-hmm. And the very first thing that we want people to engage with is God themselves, mm-hmm. because if we can only lead people as far as we have gone with God. And so engage God, engage scripture, be able to present the gospel, that mm-hmm. type of thing. But then also being able to equip people with prayer, with scripture, and in community,
mm-hmm.
equipping them with that other community of the church around them, and then empowering them to then be able to share the gospel. That's another thing. We don't want to just make believers.
That's right.
Through FCA.
Yeah.
Or any church. We want to make disciples.
That's right.
Because part of being a disciple is being able to disciple someone else. And so that's what we really want to encourage.
Yeah, I think it is so important, you know, the discipleship piece of this, equipping people. I mean, Jesus gave us a beautiful roadmap for life, and it certainly changed the trajectory of my life and the people around me that I could ask questions and struggle with and, you know, just wrestle with things, and they would stay in the conversation with me. Mm-hmm. And I had lots of questions. And so it is in that relationship. You and I both grew up in the church, and Grayson, we all grew up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
We know a good bit about scripture because we grew up in church and we had that foundation. What do you find these days, where are the students when it comes to, have they been churched? It's the percentages are much different than what they once were. I'll never forget the first time I met someone. They walked in the church and they said, I've never been in a church before. And this has been quite a few years ago now, but it shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
But that has become more and more
kind of
normal and obvious within our culture. Because there's a lot of people that haven't even entered a church. So now you're not going to someone and saying, hey, you know, let's talk about Jesus. They don't even know who Jesus really is.
Yeah.
Talk to that.
Bible literacy in Gen X and even millennials is at all-time lows. I don't have specific numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that my wife and I did at EMU before the semester started, the athletic teams come in early, and we actually got to meet with each of the teams that was there, and we gave them an index card, and we asked them to write down any question about faith, God, scripture, life in general. And it was really interesting to see some of the questions that are being asked now by this generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one of the biggest questions, it's a category of question,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of questions about, is God good? That's what they're asking. And I think part of that is the struggle they have with Scripture. How well do they know it? How well has it been taught? Because so many times we read about this mean, evil God that punished people in the Old Testament, and then there's Jesus, mm-hmm. who's the nice guy. And that is part of the Bible literacy that we want to be able to share, mm-hmm. is that the God that wrote the Old Testament and was a part of the Old Testament is the same God that came. And if you read the Old Testament, mm-hmm. you see that grace, you see mm-hmm. that love, you see the ability of God to show mercy. Mm-hmm. And yet people don't know that. And so that is something that we are really wanting to strive for, is teaching young people today the Scripture and how God is revealed in Scripture, both yeah. Old and New Testament.
Yes, yes, that's good.
Yeah. As Pastor Margaret was talking, I was thinking about how we live in a, and you talked about the statistics, we live in a post-Christian world, sadly, where a lot of people, like Pastor Margaret, somebody had said they had never been in a church before, and mm-hmm. probably a lot of kids, some don't even know who Jesus is, and that's, you know, the opportunity that organizations like FCA have yes. to minister kind of at the ground level, so to speak, to start the, which, I mean, could be a good thing, because if people have, I heard my dad say one time about somebody, I'd rather them have no experience with church than have a bad experience with church.
Mm-hmm. A lot of kids are having.
Or in this case, it's not just church, but with mm-hmm. religion or with, and not just religion, it's a relational thing, but if they have a poor view of it, then that mm-hmm. can be hard.
Yeah, and that is something that we are seeing, is that there are a lot of students who think that Christians right. are mean and bad and don't love, and yet as Christians, we are called to love right. in the truth. We're supposed right. to speak truth
right.
and love right. into right. people's lives. Right. And sometimes that gets a little tricky yeah. because when we see people running towards a cliff, we want to be able to tell them the truth. Hey, you're running the wrong way. You're going to mm-hmm. be hurt.
Yeah.
And yet they're going that way with all their heart. I want to go yeah. this way. Well, yeah. the truth is you're going to get hurt, and we love yeah. you enough to tell you that.
Yeah. Tough love.
Tough love. It is not necessarily easy to do, but it is good to do. Yeah. One of the things that we hear, 70% of young people that enter into college with faith, from a faith background, 70% of them leave their faith by the end of 4 years in college. Mm. And so that is something that we want to be able to stem the tide of, that yes. loss of faith. But we don't want to do it in college necessarily. We want to be able to reach those kids in the high school and right. middle school levels and teach them the Scriptures and that why
right.
we believe yeah. what we believe.
Right.
Because it's in college that many kids actually get challenged. Their faith right. is actually challenged for the very first time. And they don't know how right. to respond.
Right.
And so if we can reach those kids in the middle and high school levels,
yeah, right.
we do this in a lot of different ways with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We do it with huddles mm-hmm. on their teams, but we also have summer camps, that yeah, type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is something that we're excited about this coming year. We used to have a camp at Eastern Mennonite University and at Kutztown University in Pennsylvania, but we've outgrown both of those places. And so this coming summer, the end of June, beginning of July, it'll be actually 4th of July week. Camp will end on July 3rd. We're going to be at Liberty University, and that's going to be somewhere between 1,200 and 1,500 kids and staff from all over the entire Mid-Atlantic region of FCA, and coaches and college students who are going to be helping to lead those high school students in that camp. We're excited about that.
The name of that camp is?
Right now it's Liberty Camp.
Okay. And the previous was?
It was just an all-sports camp at Eastern Mennonite University and all-sports camp at Kutztown University.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a multi-sport. It's not just a single sport.
Right.
We'll have football, basketball, volleyball.
Yeah.
You
that's
name it,
good.
It's going to be there.
Yeah, that's good.
Chris, I was just thinking about ways that, you know, you mentioned that y'all need volunteers, mm-hmm. But also, and you mentioned some of the ways people could volunteer with FCA. What are some ways people could either pray for FCA or support FCA financially?
We are always seeking people to pray with us and for us. In fact, that is one of the things that we are looking at doing here immediately is getting a prayer team built that has people from all over the area. We want to be able to have people from Page, Shenandoah, City of Harrisonburg, Rockingham County mm-hmm. that are a part of a team that prays for us. Mm-hmm. We have a huge mission in front of us. And if we look at it from just our perspective, it's overwhelming. And so we are really wanting to have a group of people that would be willing to meet with us at least once a month, if not twice a month, to be able to pray with us mm-hmm. and for the ministry, for the coaches that we're already having connections with. Mm-hmm. Right now, there are 5 high schools that I am in connection with. And so prayer team, that if someone would like to be a part of a prayer team, they are more than welcome to reach out and connect with us. We would love to have you as a part of that. We will be building a Valley North board. And I have one gentleman that I'm talking to about being a part of that. But that board is going to be a volunteer group that will help us in all aspects of the ministry, whether it be the prayer ministry, support raising ministry, planning for events, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And also international. That is something that FCA does. And I don't think that's very well known. Mm. We do have an international ministry. FCA is broken up into 15 regions in the United States, and each one of those regions has an area of the world that they partner with. The Mid-Atlantic region, which we are a part of, partners with Southeast Asia. And my youngest son actually went on a 1-month-long internship with FCA in Malaysia this past summer, and it was a huge ministry event for him, but it was formational for him. And he really appreciated seeing how FCA works in a predominantly Muslim culture, but still taking the gospel through sport. Mm-hmm. And that is the type of thing that we want to be able to open up to young people in this area who may have never thought that they would have a chance to go to another part of the world. So building that board is going to be very important. And that's something that we'll be doing over the next months and years is finding those people that can help us in that.
Yeah.
And as a director, one of my roles is support raising, not only for myself. Every position in FCA is a missionary position, and they raise their own support through individual donors and church support.
Yeah.
And part of our support raising idea is if people want to support us individually or if they want to support specific things. Here at the very end of the year, one of the things that we are looking for is support to provide materials for the huddles in the schools. Mm. We have an athlete's Bible that has a lot of really neat resources in it for athletes and coaches. And we want to have a supply of those, a supply of the core, which is a 8-week Bible study that gives the foundations of the faith. We want to have a supply of those so that if a huddle or a coach in a high school says, hey, do you have 20 Bibles? We can say, yes, I can have them to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that is something, that is one of those parts of the ministry that we're looking for support here, especially at the end of the year.
Okay.
And also supporting to get Rob fully funded so that he is full-time on staff, and then my wife also is going to need to be fully funded hopefully by June.
Very good. So if someone wants to reach out to you, what is the best way for them to reach out to FCA? If they've heard anything today, they want to respond in any way.
So if somebody wants to reach out and connect with me, my phone number is 540-435-0160, and would love to be able to chat with you about anything that we've talked about today, whether it be volunteer, prayer, financial support, board member, that type of thing. Or you can reach out to me through email, and it's criddle, and it's just like a jokes and riddle book, at fca.org.
Okay, thank you.
So, yeah, thank you very much.
Chris, thank you for joining us today on Hope Talks and sharing with us a little bit about your story and about the ministry of FCA. It's been great to have you.
It's been a pleasure being with you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as we have talked with Chris Riddle today and he's shared about the ministry of FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.